Do we have Brad Korntassel on the line?
Present.
Present indeed, ladies and gentlemen, if anyone's listening, because I truly don't fucking know how this is going to go. Apparently, we're dropping F-bombs on this, too. As you guys can tell, another episode coming at you guys right now. This is very live and direct, about 6:13 on a Friday night. The thing about Anchor is, and maybe you can edit stuff and you can mess around with it, I don't know the first goddamn thing about it. So this is just live and direct, shooting from the hip.
Just like Bonzo.
No, wow, actually well played on that. What you rocking deal too? Is drum 32 is what you rocking. Yeah, there it is right there. So I got my thanks for that. But yeah, I got my boy Brad on the line right here. Mr. Korntassel, huge Lakers fan, huge baller. He's all right. I don't want to blow his ego up, but pretty good basketball player right here. One of the biggest Laker fans I know. How's it going, bro?
Good, man. How you doing?
You know, another day, another dollar. Just got back from work, but all that bullshit. But let's dive right into it. Predictably, we are going to talk Lakers right now, talk about this season, talk about Mr. Lonzo Ball, Triple B's, baby. But we're not going to get too much into LeVar because I know how you feel about him.
Yeah.
Talk about the final stretch of the season, see if we can get in the playoffs, then finish out with some free agency talk. So here we are. Almost done with a year. The Lakers are sitting at the 11 seed, I believe. Are we the 11? Are we the 12? I think we're the 11.
11. Yeah. If we win tonight, we have 30 wins on the season, which is a 4-game improvement already from last season. So that's something to hang our hats on. And
yeah, I mean, what do you credit that to?
I just think these young guys are just playing, man. They're not really thinking. And I know at the start of the season, Lonzo was probably overthinking things, and that's probably why he wasn't playing as well. But I think that also gave other guys room to grow because the spotlight wasn't on them as much. So I think just, you know, they don't know any better, and that's why they're playing so much better than they have in the past few seasons.
Hey, absolutely. Young and dumb is a real thing. You know, there's not much veteran presence on this team. I mean, also, you're looking at more than Lonzo, you're looking at guys like Josh Hart, most importantly, Kyle Kuzma. This team, I do believe this is the youngest roster in the league.
Maybe Phoenix is a little younger, but I mean, like our four guys, I think Randall's, what, 23?
And that's so bad. Yeah, when Julius Randle is considered a veteran on your team, that's
our four guys are very young.
Shout out to Luol Deng, you know, the best veteran we got on the roster. Luol Deng.
Mentorship, man. It's important.
Mentorship? Dude ain't even in the locker room. I don't even think he comes to the trips. I don't even think he's on the roster. I don't know what he's doing.
When you spot that guy, man, it's a sighting. It's rare. It's like seeing a great white buffalo or something.
What the hell is a great white buffalo?
It's a rarity.
Jesus, we're turning into the Levitard show.
don't want that.
Screw it. Yeah, man, another thing to address, you know, so then you got Brandon Ingram, who not many people necessarily labeled as a bust whatsoever, but a lot of people were expecting bigger numbers out of a number two overall drafted player a couple years ago. B.I. is looking nice, man. His mid-range game has developed more of a leadership role. He's not necessarily the rah-rah loud leader, and neither is Lonzo. I don't think the Lakers necessarily have that rah-rah guy. It's bad when it's IT. But
yeah, Randall a little bit, maybe just energy-wise. I would say he's probably – he wears his heart on the sleeve in comparison to the other guys. But, yeah, there's a lot of quieter guys on the team. So be interested to see, you know, how that will play out later on.
Yeah, definitely, because we're looking at a roster that's going to be drastically, drastically different. What do you think about Luke? What do you think about Luke Walton's coaching job this year?
I think he's really been underappreciated, to be honest. I mean, I don't think anybody expected us to have, you know, be winning 6 out of 7 games at any point during the season. And we've won, you know, had a couple 4-game winning streaks, a couple 5-game winning streaks. And we really haven't been blown out in a long time, which is
hang the hat on that, baby. That's what the Laker fandom has turned into.
Oh, it's horrible.
We're used to championships. We're used to banners. We're used to talking shit in June. And now we're like, you know what? We did not lose by 20. Let's fucking go.
Right. Yeah. It's a little bit different dynamic than it has been, you know.
I'd definitely say so. But, you know, coming into this final stretch of the season, is it a little egregious to be thinking that this team could possibly make the playoffs as an 8 seed? We're 5.5 out of the 8 seed. Looking at our schedule, you know, we got two teams ahead of us at the 9 and 10 seed, obviously. Do you think it's reasonable to expect? I know they're tied. They both got the same record right here.
Before I looked at the standings, I was like, hey, we've won 6 out of 7, you know? But then you got teams in Portland that are playing out of their minds, and they're in the 3 and 4 spots. And, exactly. You know, there's such a gap between the 11th and the 8th right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We're stuck.
At 5.5.
We're stuck.
I mean, yeah, we're just like kind of no man's land. Like, we're definitely not, you know, a bottom feeder team like we have been for like the last 4 or 5 seasons. But, you know, I don't see us making the playoffs. Maybe a push and with some luck there, you know. Maybe there's the scare factor towards the end of the season for some other teams, but
we could play spoiler. You know, we could play spoiler if anything, and that would.
Oh yeah, we could definitely bounce some teams that, you know, are on the fringe. So
yeah, we can either bounce teams or we can mess with the seeding and see who gets the 7, yeah. Who gets the 8. But honestly, I mean, the fact that the Lakers are playing semi-meaningful basketball down the stretch is a feeling we haven't had in about 5 to 6 years, and for a franchise that has been so historically good and contending, it's still pathetic to think about, yeah, you know what? We might get 35 wins this year. I mean, hell, if we push 500, that would be incredible. That is.
Oh, it'd be awesome. I'm going to stick with my guns and say what I say at the start of the season, like 37 wins-ish, 36 wins. I think I when we were talking, you know, early on in the season, we kind of threw those numbers out there, and especially when they were playing pretty well early on, it looked, you know.
Yeah, what did you set the number to? What did you set the number to? Because I know Mr. Pessimistic over here.
Yeah, maybe I said 34, 35, somewhere in that range.
You sure you
I know
said I'm that high? I'm the one that usually goes high.
I remember,
you know, in our infamous words, you're like, hell no. Nah. Trash, and we'll leave it there. But what did you have? I'm curious. I'm pretty
I think
sure
I said
33.
I thought 34, 33-ish, you know, like about an 8-game improvement from last season when I called that we wouldn't win more than 27 last year. And,
you know, I was on that D'Lo hype train, baby.
I've been happy with the season, you know. I'd love to make the playoffs, but – you also have to be realistic with things. And
yeah.
So
who do you think, you know, if you had to pick one of the rookies, because I mean, we have two stud rookies right now and they're going to be with us for quite a while. When you're looking at Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball, who do you think has been the most pivotal one here?
Kuzma's really plateaued, you know, in the last couple months, which is fine. I mean, we've, you know, made our return on investment with him already, you know, because nobody was expecting that out of really a pick that wasn't even supposed to be ours.
Correct. Yep. Thank you, Lou Williams, on that one.
But there's also, you know, that Lonzo factor, and it just seems like they just play differently when he's out there. So I don't know. I'd say it's kind of a wash right now. Obviously, they both had their ups and downs, and Kuzma's really been a surprise. This is kind of what I was expecting on Lonzo, and
exactly. Especially early on.
With the way LeVar talked him up, there was just so much pressure on him. And he's really actually been playing pretty decently. I mean, you know, I'll go back to the Jason Kidd comparison that everybody was throwing out at him, you know.
Of course.
And their numbers are really eerily similar. Kidd, his rookie season, he averaged about 12.5 points, 6 rebounds, 8 assists. Lonzo's at 10.5, 7 rebounds, 7 assists.
He's almost averaging a triple double, bro. He's almost averaging a triple double at the age of 20 in his first year as a point guard for the Los Angeles Lakers. If that's not already enough pressure, anytime you get drafted by the Lakers, everyone's expecting you to be the next Kobe, and that's unfair. Yep, that's insanely unfair. And then add on top of that everything LeVar says, which in my opinion, you know, call it presidential, if you're catching my drift, because it's saying because it's saying a lot of things to get attention, to get people talking. You get people talking, but that's exactly the whole ploy. It's marketing. You want to get people talking because bad publicity is better than no publicity, and everyone just falls for it, hook, line, and sinker. So you add all of that pressure on top of it, and this kid is cool, calm, collected. He goes out and plays, and he is the definition of making other people better, you know, and that's what he does.
Well, he's doing what they brought him in to do, you know, make people around him better, like you said. And I know a lot of Laker fans kind of had unrealistic, you know, ideas of what he was going to do coming in. I knew he wasn't going to be a guy that's going to average 20 points. That's just not his MO, you know. He's going to be the guy that moves the ball around and play good defense. And I think that's probably the thing that's surprised everybody the most is just how good he's been defensively.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm pretty sure he's leading the off. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, Lonzo's defense is something that, and you know, and you see it even at UCLA, the little that I did watch of him, I didn't see great defense whatsoever. I didn't see much of all. So it's like seeing him lately, he's very active. You know, that one play, especially in the last game where he turns it over against Orlando and he hustles his ass all the way down to prevent that wide open layup. He strips the ball. They called it a foul. It wasn't a foul. But I think things like that make a great leader. People see that you're leaving it all out on the court, and he's the youngest one out there, man. So I mean, I think the future is bright for Lonzo. I think the future is bright for the Lakers. LaVar, god, if you could just stop the hype train for a little bit.
Right, it's gonna be the jagged pill that we're gonna swallow for his entirety of a Laker being, I mean, a Laker. So yes, something we're gonna have to
he can follow his own advice and stay in your lane as long as he stays in his lane a little bit. Yep. So, I mean, we're looking at it. The 8 seed is kind of far-fetched, although, which is okay, because we weren't expecting to make the playoffs this year. We wanted a slight improvement in the record, which we've gotten. We've seen development out of these young players. Hell, you even have my boy Zubats, who I think is going to be an integral part of what the Lakers are going to be doing next year. You know, you have Zubats, you have Randall. That's another thing that we're going to address here in a second. But, you know, B.I. is looking good. Kuzma, Hart, you have a good, solid, solid nucleus. So, which brings me to the next topic, Mr. Julius Randle and free agency in general. As we know, the Lakers do have a lot of money to play with right now. You're looking at probably $60 million in available money, which is a lot more than any other team has to spend next year. 2018 kind of has been the goal. That's the year the Lakers have really been targeting for about 3 to 4 years now. As you know, we've been striking out in free agency hardcore lately, or once we strike out on the big names, Carmelo wouldn't even give us an interview, Westbrook, Durant wouldn't give us an interview, or whoever it may be, LaMarcus Aldridge was just like, okay, you guys are talking about history. I don't want to be there. All these guys have not come to the Lakers this year with so much money available. What are your thoughts going into free agency? We have Julius Randle. Do we make him, you know, he's a restricted free agent. Do we go after the two max contracts, which we can sign, which are LeBron James and Paul George? Those are the two big names. I mean, Durant's probably the hottest free agent, but there's no shot in hell we get Durant. You know, there's DeMarcus Cousins. What is your approach going into free agency?
Really, though, you know,
what was that?
That's huge. He's coming off that Achilles injury, though, which that's, I don't know what his impact will be. So I think that one's kind of maybe more out of the question now than it has been in the past. I think we have to sign Randle, man. He just seems to be such a key part to this team, and he's kind of the motor. And I've just noticed watching, you know, these Lakers teams over the past couple of years, when he's playing well, the Lakers generally are playing well. And he just brings something. No, he's not the most talented guy. He shoots everything with his left hand.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
It's insane, like, he has not developed a right hand yet.
Just the small thing that, you know, like a Draymond Green or those kind of players.
Serge Ibaka. I hope Bowie's listening. He loves Draymond. He loves Dre.
Oh, same here. You know, I'm on Bowie's side.
God, you're on Bowie's side? No way. I didn't expect that.
He's kind of
Drum 32.
He's kind of that, you know, not a star, but he does all the little things that makes
I think a team be good. He's a more athletic Zach Randolph, man. Like, the guy is a bull. He's going to go right through you. Yeah. He's going to do all the little dirty work, like you just said. And, you know, and he fills up the stat sheet too. And it's usually like a quiet one, you know, like he can have a game. He's averaging 20-9 in the month of February, I mean, which is incredible. He's a huge part as to why we went on that huge winning streak. And I mean, it's why we're winning. I think he's like the key part on that. My only concern is this play because it's a contract year? Because you've seen a lot of people ball out on their contract years. They get that long-term deal and they sit on their ass. They're chill, man. They have all this guaranteed money and they don't care anymore. This happens in every sport. You see it in baseball. You see it in football. You see it in basketball. So that's my only concern. So if I were to give you two options here, if someone tells you you can sign LeBron James and Paul George, but you're probably going to lose Julius Randle because you know some team, he's a restricted free agent. So we would have the option to max any offer sheet made for him. If someone told you you can sign Paul George, keep Julius Randle, and then you combine him with the other roster, we only have 8 people on the roster next year. We are shedding a lot of contract. KCP is gone. Brook Lopez is gone. IT is gone.
And
half of our roster is gone. They're on 1-year deals. What do you like? You like LeBron? If someone tells you LeBron and Paul George, or you can get Paul George and Randle, even though there's a very outside chance that we can get LeBron, Paul George, and Julius Randle, but that would require stretching Deng's contract and a bunch of other things. We would have to pay out our ass salary cap in the luxury tax. So what do you think? Yeah. What do you do? If you're the GM and you have these options, assuming we have these options, what do you do?
I would
it is tough.
That's tough. I mean, and there's also that, you know, 2019 class as well that's kind of looming, you know,
and further down the road. Man, that is sexy. But
you look at possibly Kawhi Leonard, or I know it's a stretch, but Klay Thompson. Guys that I think would maybe fit the system a little bit better, you know, not quite as ball dominant as a Paul George or LeBron. And my biggest thing with LeBron is, yeah, he's playing great, and nobody's disputing that, but exactly. He's 33 years old,
that
man.
Is exactly it.
It's 15th season. His swan song's coming,
Kobe,
you know.
He'll
be here.
Kobe's numbers were outrageous until he suffered the one injury that derailed him, man. Nash was even – when we gave Nash his deal, which is still haunting us, which is why we don't have a first-round pick this year, the damn Steve Nash deal, which at the time I was excited, he just broke down. And you don't know. Yep. LeBron isn't showing any signs of slowing down right now, bro. He's balling out of his mind. He's defying father time. But that's everything we were talking about Kobe as well. So I personally think if there was a way to get Klay Thompson and Kawhi Leonard, although I don't think Golden State's ever gonna break up, because if there's one guy that's gonna be selfish and want a payday, it probably will be Klay Thompson out of those four. But that would make a lot more sense, because could you imagine the defensive backcourt with Klay Thompson and Kawhi Leonard? But, you know, let's just focus on this year for now. That would be a pipe dream. You know, 2019 would be awesome. But what do you do, man? I mean, I love Randle, but you know some team is going to make him a ridiculous qualifying offer. And if the Lakers are so in on George and James, I mean, I want George, but LeBron.
I think the big thing is they're going to try to – you know, fish for a big name this summer, hopefully before, you know, Randle gets those offers, and they kind of have to base their decision if they can get somebody to replace him, you know, that's comparable or better, like a Paul George.
If you get DJ Bango.
You know, and yeah.
That goes.
Be throwing those towels around.
Oh my God. Yeah, him and Adam Morrison were best friends, bro. God, ammo. Get Josh Powell back, bro. Get Roni Turi up.
I was looking at that picture you sent me of that Lakers championship team back, you know, 09.
Bench mob, baby. Bench mob.
Dude, Morrison looks so much like
Zubac.
It is Morrison with his head. I had to do a double take, man. They look eerily similar.
Yeah, maybe I photoshopped them in there. You never know. So, I mean, another option is signing one of the two, keeping Randle, And then there's other free agents out there, but I mean, I don't know.
I mean, if IT could buy in,
God, there's no way. I think some team is going to give IT not a max, but close to a max. And you know, like, and he doesn't deserve it, man. The guy could be a spark plug off the bench. He's the guy that's either going to go 11-13, score 31 points, and hit clutch free throws down the stretch and win you a game. Defensively, he's always a liability. I just think he was utilized perfectly over in Boston. You know, he was utilized so well in Boston. Brad Stevens is a hell of a coach. Not that I ever want to give Boston any credit for anything, because F them. But I don't know, man. I don't know if I want IT back. And I keep flip-flopping on this the same way I flip-flop on Randall.
Well, it's because that's the way he's been playing games. You know, he has one great game, and it's like, him and Lonzo mesh so well when they're on the floor together, and they're both playmakers. And then he has a game where he has 7 turnovers, and you know he loses the game for the team. So it'll be a waiting game on that one. But
yeah, man. So I mean, here we are, big free agency summer coming up. This is kind of the year we've been targeting. I know there were rumors on ESPN a couple months ago that we've kind of given up on 2018, and they're more focused on 2019. Who knows? I do know with the Laker franchise and everything that's been talked about, there's so much hype going into the summer. There's expectations. And I feel like this is finally the year. And to get LeBron, who is the best, you know, let's just say it, he's the best of all time. That's another topic that we can address, but you have to give LeBron a max. And in his first year, he's going to be making 35 mil on that max, because that's what he's eligible for.
Well, probably a 1-year contract if, you know, it ever did happen. That's what he's been doing. Give him all flexibility, and, you know, everything's at his discretion.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and he's earned that right. Not a lot of people have earned that right to do something like that. But, I mean, it's LeBron James, man. And we got to, if you want him, you got to give him a max. I understand he's going to be 34. I am just very, very nervous of him breaking down. We haven't seen anyone that big, that fast, that strong ever, but Father Time is undefeated. Father Time is undefeated. We'll see, bro. We'll see. I'm nervous going into this free agency,
though. I mean, if he's going to go anywhere late in his career, it'd be very fitting that he'd go to Los Angeles. Wow. You know, just because of the magnitude of stars that, you know, I've come to LA later on in their careers.
Yeah.
The Kareem,
is that exactly, the Wilts, is that exactly, you know, what the Lakers' problem is, though, pitching on history? Because that's the one knock, because that's what everyone says, you know, like, history, come to the weather. I feel like these players, they don't give a shit anymore, man. Like, it's just like, I want to go win. And if LeBron looks at the roster, because, I mean, LeBron wants young, promising talent, man. And you know he's going to love playing with Lonzo. He's going to love playing with B.I. He's going to love playing with Kuzma. Like, we have a nice roster. We have a nice roster built. If we can get two big names, I do feel it's going to fit well. But who knows? If Paul George comes solo, do you think that's enough to make the playoffs?
I think that's a 7 to probably tops. But, yeah, I think he gives you those big shots, and he plays both ends of the floor. And he's got that star dynamic, you know. And so I do think, honestly, I think it'd be best just to sign one guy this summer, save the money for, you know, 2019 to potentially sign somebody else.
Yeah, man, but
big.
You know, hey, you know how the Angelinos are, man. I mean, they've been patient for a long time, and this has been the year. I guess we just got to stay tuned and find out, man. I mean, if I had to make a prediction right now, I do think the Lakers let Randall walk. Because I think he's going to receive a ridiculous qualifying offer from some other team. The only issue, another thing to see is that, you know, how long LeBron takes a long ass time to decide, man. Historically in free agency, LeBron takes 3-4 weeks to decide what he's going to do. And who knows how quickly someone's going to offer Randall a qualifying offer. Because if they offer him one on the first day of free agency, I don't think the Lakers only have, what, a week or two to decide if they're going to match it. Then what if they match it, and then we find out LeBron truly is interested and Paul George is interested, and then you don't have the money? Like, things like that play in, and I do think other teams, I mean, if I had to make a prediction, bro, I think the Mavericks are going to sign on to some ridiculous lucrative offer.
I do. I can see him playing in Dallas. He's a, you know, a tech kid, and he just – I could see him in that uniform.
Yeah, so can I. And I just hope we don't regret it. My honest prediction is that the Lakers get Paul George. I would put that at a 95% certainty. He wants to be there, and, you know, that's huge. People respect that, that he actually wants to play for the Lakers because
– What do you think of him saying that he was a Clippers fan growing up?
I don't buy much stock into that, man. I mean, he has made so many.
No, I'm just, it's like kind of a funny.
Yeah,
point,
exactly, you know? Like, exactly, a lot of man. And
people from like our generation saying they were Clippers fans.
Oh
up,
my
so.
God! Yeah,
I just
I remember all of them in damn Chris Kaman jerseys. Like get the.
Corey Maggette.
Corey Maggette was a little too jacked for his own good, but I mean, dude, seriously, that dude was jacked. But I mean, yeah, to be a prop
playing like in that that big three.
Oh
league.
My god, trash nice. Ass, bro! It's just like, wasn't Corey Maggette on an NBA Jam? I feel like Corey Maggette was on an NBA Jam.
Yeah, him and Elton Brand.
Oh
I think,
Jesus, talk about another walking injury, Elton Brand. But, yeah, man, so, I mean, we'll see what happens this free agency. Do you think, when do you think the Lakers are back? As in, when I say back, I'm not talking making the playoffs. I'm talking as a franchise that is contending for a championship. I mean, I do understand that it's very dependent on how we do in free agency. But what are your thoughts right there? When are we back?
I'd say probably two years, probably
2020.
I think next year we'll make that, you know, probably make a pretty good push next year. I'm hoping, you know, just keep gaining momentum, and these young guys are just going to keep on getting better and better, you know, pending any unforeseen injuries or something like that. Yeah. You know, so much can happen in a year, man. Like, look, like even 2 years. Look how much has changed in the Lakers organization. I mean, you lost a organization, and D'Angelo Russell.
D'Lo, that's your boy.
Just so much. Oh,
hell no. Nah.
Don't get me started.
Hell no.
Nah. Yeah, it's just that's the thing. None of us can tell the future. And I mean, that would be with the way things are trending now, that would be my guess.
Who is untouchable on the roster? For me, it's you. Lonzo cannot go anywhere. Oh, by the way, dude, Houston is getting destroyed by Toronto really quick. But yeah, I just saw that on ESPN. But
Lonzo's nice. I mean,
Lonzo's untouchable for me. Kuzma's untouchable. BI, I'd like to keep BI as well. Everyone else, man. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Tyler Ennis is part of this roster, right? So Tyler Ennis is one of our eight, and so is Luol Deng. Okay, so I mean, we technically have six people on the roster next year. So if we can fill it with a superstar or two, then sign a bunch of, like, you know, whatever. Sign a bunch of veteran minimums.
Lopez back then?
What's up?
I think Lopez would sign a reasonable contract.
If we can land a LeBron, yeah. But dude, that's exactly the other thing, bro. If we sign LeBron James, he has a flock of people. Watch Ray Allen come out of retirement, bro. Watch Mike Miller head on over.
James
oh
Jones.
My god. Okay, I don't want to assemble the Heatles, but the thing is, if LeBron,
well, that's what happened somewhere, man. He's got his posse of guys.
I know. If that's exactly it. And that's a massive part. People will take pay cuts to play with LeBron James. People will not take pay cuts to play with Paul George. And that's where, you know, I even think Paul George wouldn't even sign a max. If they tell him LeBron's coming too, can you please not take a max? I think Paul George signs off on that. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I have a tough time reading Paul George. My big thing is, if we sign him, it's going to look like Indiana 2.0, you know, basically.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Indiana had some good teams.
One superstar and then a bunch of pretty good players, but not another superstar.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the only thing I'm cautious with signing Paul George. But, I mean, potentially, if I don't know if he's chasing money or what his motive is. But, I mean, there's potential that if LeBron was coming, he could sign a lesser deal.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. all Lakers fans, chime in with some thoughts. Let us know what you think about what we just said. Any questions, comments, if you think I'm an idiot, if you think Brad's an idiot, which I'm sure happens quite often, let us know. Thanks for listening, Brad. Let's do this again soon, bro.
Oh, yeah, man. It's fun. I appreciate you having me on.
Are you going to watch this Lakers game right now, or you got to go out to dinner with a wifey?
Oh, I'll get it up on the phone. You know me.
God, it's almost like you have League Pass or something. Shout out to all the drums in the world. But all right, bro. Sounds good, brother. I'll hit you up during the Lakers game. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Goodbye from me. That's the part where you say goodbye to, Brad.
Keep drumming on, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you guys soon.